And you'll see that's the argument. That's the logic that is behind the statement. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The more of the law you know, the bigger the sinner you'll discover yourself to be. The more of the Ten Commandments that you study and their implications and your many ways of breaking them and your impossibility of keeping them, then you'll only feel more and more and more condemned. So by the law, no one can be justified. There has to be another way.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we continue on with the Protestant Reformation, and we come to the core doctrine of justification by faith alone. That was the Reformer's trump card. That was the main foundation on which the gospel was discovered and preached, and by which nations were changed from the darkness of medieval Christianity, Roman Catholicism, and by which the Protestant Reformation revival was carried along by the Spirit of God. Now, we need a Bible today to do this. We're going to turn to the book of Romans, which really is a gospel book, and will reveal how a guilty sinner can be absolutely certain of full salvation and eternal peace with God. And so I hope that you will open your Bible, turn with us to the message today as we turn to our pulpit ministry, as we let the Bible speak on the Reformation doctrine, justification by faith alone. And it's found, well, it is discovered in the Bible, and it will change your heart.
Your Bible's open at Romans chapter 3. We'll be coming to that a little bit. I want you to imagine if a preacher, a different preacher, came to this pulpit this morning, and he read from Hebrews 12:14 that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then he went on to say that unless you are totally purified to a certain and a great degree, you cannot be saved. Then he turns to another Bible verse like Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he would go to James chapter 2, and he would there say that we are saved by works, and by our works is faith made perfect. The question then would be, well, how many works? And how do we know what we have done sufficient works? Now, when am I done? When have I done enough? And when am I justified completely? If that be true, that we must be justified by our own works, even to some little degree, that it is grace plus something in us, then we're all lost. None of us here are going to heaven, because who has ever kept the law of God perfectly? And who deserves to be brought into heaven after transgressing or breaking the law of God? And as we read there in verse 23, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in Paul's days, there were teachers who were saying that they needed to be circumcised, that they needed to do various Jewish things. And Paul said, no, if you do any of those things, then grace is made of none effect. Well, today, we need to clear the air. We need to lay a solid foundation for our gospel faith. It was indeed this discovery of justification by faith alone that cleared up the matter for men like Martin Luther, who himself had been under the awful sense of slavery to try to perform, purchase, or acquire salvation by his own works. And it was not until the discovery of the gospel message of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, that he came to the full liberty of enjoying salvation. Now, out of the Protestant Reformation came, therefore, the five solas. These are Latin terms. Sola means singular things. Sola Scriptura, the only authority of the church, the only authority for the gospel is the Bible, and the Bible alone. Then sola gratia, and that is grace alone. And it is God's way of saving sinners, not by part works and part mercy, but by totally grace alone. We receive that grace by sola fide, that is, by faith alone. Faith is the stretched out hand receiving all the mercy and all the grace of God. The person from whom we receive it is sola Christos, that is, Christ alone. He's the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the purpose of it all, sola Deo Gloria, that is, for God's glory alone. And isn't it a marvelous thing that God has ordained your salvation, my salvation, that we get no glory at all? God gets it all. From beginning to end, God receives all the glory. And you will never be in heaven and say, I got here because I made a decision in my own wisdom, in my own strength, and I did something in my own power, and therefore, because I did that thing, I am now in heaven. No, there is no room for boasting. We glory only in the cross. Now, having said all of this, it is a great tragedy that in the vast majority of pulpits across Canada today, there will be no message on justification by faith alone. And the tragedy is that if you were to ask many worshipers as they would leave a church on any Sunday of the year, do you know what it means to be justified by faith alone? You would, in most cases, get a blank look. If you go to a Bible bookstore, if you can find one, sadly, a lot of bookstores have closed now due to the online method of sales. If you can find a bookstore, you will find the most popular shelves, the most numerous books, are devoid of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. All the best sellers do not really get into that subject. And so, generally, in this nation, the vast population of Canada is very, very ignorant of this doctrine of justification by faith. And any people, any church, any family that are not well grounded in this doctrine are in great danger of going back to medieval religion, the Dark Ages. And that may well be upon us. And so it is a wonderful thing today to open our Bibles in Romans 3 and to take a fresh look at this doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, and to counter this tragedy of ignorance that is all around us. And this doctrine needs to be preached, needs to be defended, needs to be rehearsed over and over because of the important place that the New Testament writers give to it. It could truly be said that in this book of Romans, if you took out every reference to justification, imputation, and the same cognate words that describe this doctrine, that you would hollow out the whole book. You would end up with like a car with a nice shiny body but no engine in it. You would have something that is absolutely emptied out and powerless, because really the whole theme, the whole thrust of the Apostle Paul in this book of Romans is to teach and emphasize the importance, the value of being justified by faith. If you go back to chapter 1, 16 and 17, which is really a thematic summary of the whole doctrine, you will see how Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And then he goes on to describe what that gospel is. And you'll see in verse 17 that he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is the basis of the whole doctrine. We are justified by faith. And then again, he defines it even more clearly, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, those are revolutionary words and a revolutionary message. And so anyone coming to the book of Romans and reading that, and then when they pick up on the big subject matter that's going to be dealt with in the book, and you move on chapter by chapter, you're going to see the wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone expounded step by step by Paul the Apostle, the theologian of the church. Now, I want to, in a few minutes, try and take you step by step through some of the key verses. Now, they deserve really a lifetime of study, but I must do something to lay the foundation here. So I'm going to take you immediately to chapter 3 and to verse 20. Chapter 1 sets up the theme. Chapter 1 also says that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles, and there is none righteous. Chapter 3 really gives a list of the sinfulness of man. But in this verse 20, it begins the matter of how to be justified. Verse 20, therefore, and you'll see that's the argument. That's the logic that is behind the statement. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The more of the law you know, the bigger the sinner you'll discover yourself to be. The more of the Ten Commandments that you study and their implications and your many ways of breaking them and your impossibility of keeping them, then you'll only feel more and more and more condemned. So by the law, no one can be justified. There has to be another way. When you go down to verse 28, you'll see another therefore, another conclusion of the matter. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so we're seeing now the argument opened up. We're seeing this theme laid out in very, very clear terms. And even on that one verse alone, someone like that dying thief on the cross could be marvelously saved just to know that we're not saved by the deeds of the law. We are saved by through faith. Now, when you move on to chapter 4, you will see that the argument is taken from Abraham. How did Abraham get saved? It was through faith. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. And so you can see now the argument is continuing, using Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the founder of the Jewish nation, that even he was not saved by works. He was saved by faith. And then on later down, you will see that, verse 6, that David is used as an example. And how did David, this king in Israel that stands out as the forerunner of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, how was he made right with God? Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Without works. This is wonderful. You can imagine a man like Martin Luther discovering this. He had been flagellating and doing penance and paying money and seeking to perform this and that. He was living in misery, feeling condemned, and then he discovers it's not by works at all. I've been doing it all wrong. And the light comes on, and suddenly he begins to grasp God's way of saving sinners, not by works, not by keeping the law, but by faith in the work of another, the Lord Jesus himself. Now you get to chapter 5, verse 1, you will see another conclusion, another therefore. Now you can see what I'm doing. I'm, in a sense, taking a shortcut to give you a quick road through Romans here by looking at the therefores. The therefores, the conclusion of the matter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, even the dying thief only had that one verse. He could understand it all. Peace with God, therefore, being justified not by my works, not by my religion, not by my church attendance or performance or membership or any other religious duty. I am justified solely by looking away from myself onto another person who came from heaven, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, paid the price of my redemption, took my place, and my faith is in him alone. Alone. That is the beauty and the power of this wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone. Now, if we're looking for another big therefore, I'll take you to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Chapter 6 and 7 in Romans are really parenthetical. They're dealing with a side issue. And chapter 8 continues on the whole doctrine of chapter 5, justification. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine the moment that Martin Luther would have taken that New Testament, read these words in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. That must have been a heavenly moment when liberty through the light of the gospel shone into his heart. He must have been a man rejoicing. It's no wonder that he went out on Halloween, as we now call it, or the eve of St. Martin's Day, and, whatever saint's day it was, he was given the name Martin because he was born on the eve of St. Martin. So let's back up a little bit here to the Reformation. And it was the eve of another saint's day. And on that evening, he nailed his 95 doctrines or statements to the church door. He renounced indulgences, payment for salvation. He renounced a whole series of things. And he rejoiced in the great liberty of salvation by faith alone. It was said that Erasmus led the egg that Luther hatched. That means Erasmus did the work of giving the scriptures, in a collating all the copies and presenting the Word of God. But it was Luther that hatched the egg because he preached it and declared it to the German people. And that was the spark of the Protestant Reformation in that time. And truly, the Reformation was a back to the Bible movement. It was a back to the gospel movement, that we are saved by faith alone and not by works. And so it needs to be preached. And if we fail to preach it in Canada in the 21st century, we are not doing our work. We are not sons of the Reformation if we do not declare this doctrine. And I beg you, I beseech you, study the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Start with the shorter catechism, question and answer number 33. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, whereby he pardoneth us of all our sins, not for our own righteousness, but for the righteousness of Christ alone and by faith alone. I summarized the last part of the day. We'll have to remember that one. You'll have to memorize it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do in this Reformation, just to memorize the shorter catechism, number 33? You'll get it on Google. It's everywhere. It's a part of our history. It's a part of world history. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 33. Now, this needs to be declared and needs to be defended, because it took the death of the Lord Jesus to give us this wonderful message and doctrine of justification by faith alone. The death of the Lord Jesus is the groundwork of our justification. Justification finds its meaning in the merits. Now, when I say merits, the value of Jesus' blood, Jesus' sufferings, his sacrifice that he offered up upon that cross at Calvary. And because he undertook the payment, the total payment, the complete turning away of God's wrath due to our sin, and because he suffered in totality until he could cry out on the cross, "It is finished," his work of atonement, his work of sacrifice, of giving the gift of justification by faith alone, it is grounded in the death of the Lord Jesus. Now back to Romans 3, 24, 25, and I want you to see this doctrine. Being justified freely, and we're back to the subject, we're right on topic here, verse 24, being justified freely. Wonderful. This is free grace. This is not something that God holds back. He delights in. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption means the purchasing work of Jesus in his death. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now, that's a very big word with really a simple meaning. It is simply sacrifice. His sacrifice. Now, the purpose of the sacrifice was to turn away God's wrath. A propitiatory sacrifice turns away the wrath of God due to the broken law, due to our transgressions. And though we be sinners, God has provided a propitiatory sacrifice, infinitely sufficient to settle the account for every believer, for all who will ever come. Indeed, some theologians would say that there was a sufficiency in the death of Christ to save all people of all worlds. It was infinite in nature. And so don't think there's no mercy for you. Don't think that it's all exhausted and the reservoir of grace is run dry. This is the death of the second person of the Trinity, who in himself had such virtue, vitality, and value in his blood that he could purchase the souls of all whom the Father had given him in the covenant of grace. And so rejoice that there is a propitiatory sacrifice. Now look at this verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith. So we're back to justification by faith alone. There's no other instrument. There's no other means. There's no other agent. There's no other way for you to be justified but by faith. Now, what is the object of that faith? Faith needs an object. Faith is not just mysterious yoga meditation in empty, mindless things. No, faith in something. What does the verse say? Through faith in his blood. That's life-changing. And I can only imagine the reformers discovering these things. I can only imagine what it was like for me to discover these things. It's life-changing. Once you get your faith into this, once you get your teeth into these truths, you're set free. Free from the accusations that you're not worthy. Who are you to call yourself a Christian? The devil will come and say, you're not good enough to walk with God. You're not good enough to be at peace with God. And he would try to come and rehearse all the vile past to trouble your soul. But here's the gospel, that we are justified through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. This is a loaded text. Man, there's a world of doctrine in here. It's a righteousness which is declared for the remission of sins that are past. Isn't that a wonderful peace coming into your soul just to read those words? The devil and our own hearts will always want to trouble us about our past. And let me tell you, when you get older, it doesn't be any less. When you get older, the sins of your youth are more vivid than ever before. And you have to come back to the cross, back to the blood, back to the propitiatory sacrifice, and take your stand and answer the accusations that the devil may lay against you and settle the matter. But the blood speaks for me, and the matter is dealt with. My sins are remitted through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Now, that simply means God didn't lower the standard. He didn't change the law. He didn't less his holiness. He maintained his righteousness in all its fullness. But he found a way to make you and me totally righteous, to meet that infinite standard through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.